Okay, ready? Romans chapter 1. We left off at verse 11, so we'll pick up there. We'll actually go back and get a brief summary, but Romans chapter 1, let's open up in prayer before we get started. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you again for the privilege we have to study as a body. We pray as we continue in Romans that you might open our understanding as we read your word and believe your word. We pray for all those present today, Lord, that you might strengthen us according to our needs. And for the body members that are not here, and we pray for those who are sick and confined to their homes. We pray for the body universal, all saints, Lord, that today might be a day of edification for them also. Once again, we pray as we go forward that the word might have free course, that we might be edified, and that you might be glorified. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we found out about Paul, who Paul was, how he got called. We found out about his apostleship somewhat. We didn't exhaust those verses. And we found out that he's writing to the Romans, or where in God's program they should have been
enemies.
Well, they were enemies, but because of the dispensation of grace that we now live in, God has extended his long suffering to all. And it just so happens that he starts with the people that were oppressing his people, which Paul was a type of, where Paul was a persecutor of his people, right? God's people. And when Paul asked the Lord, "Who art thou?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Well, he had never seen him. But because he persecuted his people, he was a persecutor of the Lord himself. That shows you how God identifies himself with his people. So now he starts with the Romans. Instead of them being enemies and him inflicting punishment and wrath on the Romans, he comes in with grace. And that's what Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, he's partly explaining his office, and then he's explaining their position today. And part of him wanting to go to Rome was to be able to continue that edification, to continue to inform them of what God has done for them and what he wants to do for them, which is something that we still need edification today. Most saints, we need to know what God has done for us, and we need to know what God wants to do with us, don't we? So we found out, okay, we'll pick up at verse 7. Let's just pick up there. He says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, now, beloved of God. We just talked about that. Not enemies, he says, but they're beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice Paul in all his writings, he says that his greeting or his salutation was his token in all his epistles. That is, that's how you know, that's how those believers could validate that the letter was from Paul, because his greeting would be the same, which is God's attitude toward us. He says, grace and what? There's actually a lady in Detroit that when we were talking, I would call her, both of them, her husband and her. That's how they answer the phone. When you pick it up, they don't say hello. They say grace and peace. And it kind of throws you off for a minute. And you say, well, do I say grace and peace back, or do I just say hello? But I thought it was fitting how they use Paul's salutation as theirs. So,
okay. You saying that just popped something in my head. In Thessalonians, when Paul says a letter as from us, What is it all about? Wrath, fear. Right there it tells you. You should know.
I didn't write that.
I didn't write that.
Yeah. He says, don't be troubled. Mm-hmm. Paul's letters, they should, you know, that's a good point, is anytime you are, if you're listening to another speaker or reading another writer, if he doesn't give you a sense of security in Christ, you can bet it's not Pauline. Because God is, he's in, when Paul writes, his message is grace and peace. His message is, well, I hate to say it, it's positive. It's what God wants to do for you, not what God wants to do to you. So if you go somewhere and they say, well, if you don't do this, God's going to punish you. You know, that's not a message of grace. How could God be today tell you that he's not imputing sins or imputing trespasses? That means how can he tell you that I'm not counting this against you, and then you go to another preacher and he tells you the exact opposite? That God, oh, he is punishing you. You know that he's not Pauline. I'll just use this because we are familiar with this, where God said, or most a preacher would say this, if you don't tithe, God's going to take it out of your pocket some way.
He's going to get it another way.
He's going to get it.
Car's going to break down. He's going to pay the repairman.
That's not consistent with God saying through Paul that he loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't say, you know, Louise, if you don't give me that tenth, I'm going to get it some way. I'll make you this, or I'll do this to you. That's not grace. So if it's not consistent with Paul's message, you know it should raise a flag for you. That's all I'm saying. So he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. In this at the world at that time, and that's, we looked at that last week, being significant that it was the very people that Paul was imprisoned by, the Romans. The gospel was even effective in Rome, where they were all, their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. So this is his reason for writing. He says, I long to see you, that he might impart some spiritual gift, to the end, that is, that the result would be that they would be established. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be nice if, well, that's what, when you leave and you go to a Bible class or you go to a assembly, you should be looking to be established. That's what the local assembly is for. That's what the local assembly was designed for, was to establish the saints, not to entertain them. Now, if you get entertained along the way, that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. But your goal should be to be established. That is, you would like to know what God is doing today, how he's doing it, and what he wants you to do today. Shouldn't that be at the top of the list? Well, we might go to see, what can I get out of God this week? Here's my list. Oh, it's like you got the vision. You got a vision. You got your spiritual vision board. There are all the things that you want God to do. You got them listed. And And you, the establishment and the edification, that's on the bottom of the list. But that's what the main thing for the local assembly was, for edification. And the spiritual gift, we talked about it last week, is doctrine. That's what God, that's what spiritual, and we looked at 1 Corinthians where, well, look at 1 Corinthians. We'll just go back there so you can take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see. Let's pick up at verse 9. We'll just start there. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How do you know the things of God? If just from that verse, he says, no man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the what? Spirit of God. How do you know, you're using your deduction or your inference from the passage, how would you know the things of God?
Holy Spirit.
Do you have them?
Yeah.
So stop feeling like this. I can't understand that. I don't understand that.
That's when you step back in the flesh.
That's where you just, when you sit down, you just ask the Lord, I want to understand this. There's a passage in Daniel where, you remember when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and he was asking his soothsayers and his magicians and his prophets, and he says, I don't just want you to tell me what the dream means. They wanted him to tell them the dream, and then they would interpret it. He says, no. He says, I want to prove that you are who you say you are. I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and I want you to interpret it. And you know what they said?
Can
anybody do
that before?
That's a lot, King. But you know what they said? He said, there's a man, O king, there's a man named Daniel. Okay, let's see. Oh, Daniel. Is it Daniel? Yeah, Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 2. I believe that's 2. Chapter 2, let's see, Daniel 2, verse 2, and verse 20, start at verse,
28 is where it says, but there's a God in heaven that reveals
secrets. Yeah, that's, I was trying to pick and choose out of here. Verse 8. 2 verse 8. He says, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that acts such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and began to study. Okay. He went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know what's interesting about that? What I like about this, we didn't read that verse. In the beginning of chapter 1, well, just flip back one page. Well, maybe it's more than one page. Flip back a page. Verse, when Daniel found out, what did he do? He went back to his companions, right? And he told them, and they prayed and says, God, show it to us. Right? This, watch this. I love this part. Verse 1, verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and what?
Understand.
Why y'all skip that? As for 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and
Daniel
had understanding in all visions and dreams. Do you think he knew that?
No.
But he goes back and he includes his brothers. He didn't think of himself
special.
Right. He said, you know what? God can he could show it to you. He could show it to you. He might show it to you. And he went back and he said, let's all of us ask God for understanding. And then, where are we at? Verse, back to chapter 2. He says, then, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. All right, skip down to verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Daniel gave credit to who?
God.
He said, there's a God in heaven that does what?
Reveal
secret. How does he reveal the secrets? We just read all that.
God gave them
knowledge. There's the Spirit. He said there's a man in whom the Spirit of God dwelleth in. He said he can tell you the secret. He did it by what? By the Spirit. Corinthians, you got Corinthians? Back to Corinthians. He says, verse 12, now, 2:12, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. That's capital S. He's receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, small S, discerned. Now, before we move on to the next verse, you understand what's going on there? Is this. Just draw this man up here. He says, when you are saved, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in you. You know that. He regenerates your spirit. So you got capital S, then you got the small s. Your spirit now is able to communicate with the Holy Spirit. So when you read his word, which is spiritual, because God wrote it, that word comes to you. Well, the Holy Spirit communicates it to your spirit, and you ask, just like Daniel, is, I want to understand this. And the Holy Spirit will take those words and he will help you understand was freely given to you of God. You believe that?
Yeah.
Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
I don't believe y'all believe that. That's so when you are reading, he'll take those. He says he compares spiritual things, right, with spiritual. He just told you, he says, this natural man, he won't understand this because he doesn't have what it takes to understand it. It's foolishness to him. But the spiritual man, he's able to understand it because he can compare the spiritual things with spiritual.
He has a secret.
Because the Holy Spirit, he doesn't want to keep his secret from you. He's there to show you the things, we just read it, that are freely given to you of God. So when Paul, you know what Paul said this in Ephesians? He says, if you heard, how do you hear things? It's got to be spoken, don't it? Or read. He said, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. He says, somebody get chapter 3. He says, whereby
when you read,
when you what?
Read.
You will what?
You may know.
You may, a little stronger than that.
Understand.
So the key to this. Do you have any ignorant saints?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul, or he would write and he would say, brethren, you had a spirit, right? He says, I don't want you, I would not have you to be ignorant. Why are saints ignorant? They got the Holy Spirit, don't they?
But they don't spend time in the Word.
They have the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you why I don't know things.
You have to compare the spiritual with the spiritual.
Because now we'll do this. Now the natural man doesn't receive it, but the new man, he does. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So okay, you're saved, right? Suppose I take out the scriptures. What's going to fill that? What's going to fill my knowledge up? How is that feeding the spirit, man? Unless it's a TV program that's giving you some spiritual information based on the Word of God.
It's feeding your flesh.
He says.
You put politics up there too.
Because this is where you find out. Did you have to find out, or keep exposing yourself to spiritual things that will increase your understanding? Your spiritual understanding.
Fill up the gas tank for the new man.
Yeah. That's what Paul, when he prays, he says, I'm praying now since the day I've heard of it, since the day I heard that you are saved. He says, I'm cease not to pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his what? What does God want? What does he want from me? What does he want from me? I think he wants this. Well, I think he wants something else. Well, here's another guy, he thinks this. And another person, he thinks this. What's missing with the thoughts?
The Word of God.
Nobody has the spiritual understanding, which is based on the Word. It's not what you think he wants. It's what he said he wants. Okay. Parents, children, when I get out of work, Mia, this is what I want done. When you get home, as long as she knows what you said, what do you expect? You understand me? You understand what I want? Yes, ma'am. Then she's got a choice. Even she knows what you want, right? But she has a choice to carry those things out. She can't say when you get in, I didn't know what you wanted. Didn't we talk about it? Okay. Back to Romans. Or back to Corinthians, I'm sorry. So we see that he said, the natural man receiveth not, this verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the what? How do you have the mind of Christ? The Spirit?
The Word.
The Word, right. And they go together.
But you can't, if you have just the Spirit and not the Word, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Then you're back to whatever you think.
Right. Now let me digress for a little longer. This is the importance of the Word of God today. Before we have the completed revelation, God gave apostles, prophets, and teachers, where they spoke those things until we had a completed revelation. So now you don't need all these people. They would say, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord. Now that you have it, you don't have to wonder, what did the Lord say? All you have to do is pick it up, turn to a chapter and a verse, then you can find out what the Lord said. And he said this. That's why he said it's the what? Word of God. That worketh effectually in you that believe. That's how you get your spiritual understanding, is that. This is, Jesus said this on earth, his word is spirit and truth. Huh? Did he not say that? Okay. Back to Romans chapter 1. That's why Paul says, when he said the spiritual gift that he's talking about for the Romans, he says, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, he said, that I might be comforted together by the mutual
faith.
Faith
cometh by hearing.
Comes by hearing, and hearing by. He says, when I come, he says, I want you and me to sit down around what? We're circling it again? Sit around the what? The Word of God.
He has spoken.
He has. Romans 15. Just hold your hand there. Verse 15, verse 28. Obviously skipping some chapters, but he says, when therefore I have performed this, that is the gift that he's going to give the saints, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the what? The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He says, when I come, he says, I'm sure I'll come in the fullness of the blessing, what? Of the gospel. What do you think he's saying? He says, I'm sure when I come, I'll come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ.
Fullness of knowledge.
The fullness of knowledge. He said, when I come, he says, we're going to have a good time. He said, I'm going to have a lot to say. The fullness of the gospel and the blessings of the gospel. He says, I'm sure when I come that it'll be edifying to you. How do you think he knew that? How do you think he knew that when I get there, you're going to be edified? How do you think Paul knew that? Because he studied a lot. Because he knew that he was getting what? Revelation. Yeah. Would you say that, Vice?
No, oh. By himself.
I was like, Johnny, advice? What? He was getting advice, but he was getting it from the Lord, right?
I didn't say advice. I said he was getting edified himself.
Edified, yes. Thank you. That was funny, though. So, that's Paul's whole aim. He says, verse 12, that is, that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me.
Amen. Well,
yes, I'm back in Rome. Sorry. Now, 13. Now, I would not have you, what? Ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul says, I want you to know that I've wanted to come there a long time ago. And now this is getting into a area where I've learned this. I'm learning this. Is I used to have a kind of a hang up with intervention. When I say that, like, what is God doing in the lives of believers today? Like, how active is he? So that's a big question. And when I say it's a big question, it's a big question. It's a big gray area. Because you'll have God just sitting back and letting us do anything we want to do, which is what we do. But you can't have him out of control either. You understand what I'm saying? Is God is all wise, all knowing, and he's not manipulating circumstances. But okay, let me get some verses here. Paul said this. He says, I'm just going to throw something out to you. He says, I long to see you. He says, and I've wanted to come there a long time ago. But I was led hitherto. Let me ask you something. When Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, God says, I will show him. Y'all can help me.
Oh, great.
They will show him great things, how he would what? Suffer. Mm-hmm. Go thy way. He's my chosen vessel. What does a vessel do?
It carries something.
You can think of like a ship, right? A vessel, it sails. It's going somewhere, right? There's a destination to it. That's what Paul can get to 2 Timothy, and he says, I've what?
I finished my course.
I kept what? He's here. He's done. He said, I finished my course, kept the faith, I'm done. Acts 20, it says, Paul, don't go up to Jerusalem. Because the Holy Ghost said this, that the man that owns this belt, if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to have some trouble. And he says, none of these things move me. neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course, he said, with joy. He says, I might finish my course with joy, that is, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So when he starts, he doesn't know what he's in for. As he goes along a little longer, he realizes that the course is not, it's not a cakewalk. By 28, and he says, okay, this looks like the end of my course. I said all that to, was God with him all the way? And you know that because God told him from the beginning. He says, I'm going to show him. And when he's in Corinth, and he goes through, he says, that's okay, Paul. He says, just like you bore witness in this place, you must also bear witness of me in Rome. God already knew he was going where? To Rome. That didn't stop Paul from... He decided, he says, we're going to go and visit our brethren in every city. Didn't he not say that? Acts 16. And I'm just going through this just to show you that something that stood out to me as I was reading. And this is long time ago where this popped in my mind, and I'm gonna see what you guys think about this. Verse 16, verse 5. I'll tell you what, pick up at verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now you might be saying, well, so what? So what are you saying?
Opening and closing doors.
That's opening and closing doors. Yes. Now, we know Paul was an apostle. We know that, right? But I'm just going, just as a crude map over here. This, I'm just drawing this. This is Asia. And over here is
Greece.
Yes. So you know it's kind of off this way. But here's Corinth, which is in Macedonia. So that's Macedonia. Now, when they're sailing, I believe they're somewhere in here. They start off right there. What's right here?
Asia.
Timothy's right here. So they're real close. He starts off there. He picks up Timothy in Lystra. And Asia's here. Bithynia's, I believe, somewhere in there. My point is, it's real close. So they say, okay, let's go into Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, right, Mysia, they're all in Asia. So they go there, and they said, the Holy Ghost says, no, you can't go there. So they go around this back way, and the Holy Ghost says, no, you can't come in there either. And here's a man. Look how far that is. That's just the distance. You can flesh that out, you know, see what the distance is. And they see the vision. And the man over here, the Holy Ghost, says, suffered them not to go there. And Paul sees the vision. He says, assuredly, that God had called us to preach the gospel to Macedonia. He says, and... he says, and straight, therefore, loosing from Troas, they made a straight course. They started to head right that way. Now, I said all that to come this way is God is working this out according to his own will. If he goes... and this is I'm just giving you this for thought. Ephesians, Colossians, you have, those are the churches in Asia, the Laodiceans. That's most of your advanced doctrine is with these people in mind right here. All the milk starts with the Corinthians, doesn't it? If God is progressing according to his will, then he works these things out the way that's beneficial in his plan, not your plan, not our plan. So Paul, he goes there. He doesn't know why he can't go to Asia. Now, I would have loved to stay in Detroit. God didn't make me move here. When I got here, I all of a sudden I have, not all of a sudden, I'm just being who I am, which is a saint. I end up having three classes. Now, you can probably look at some things in your life when you can say, how'd you get here? How'd you get here? How'd you get here? And you think, okay, God says, he, without faith, it's impossible to please him. They that come to God must first believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Acts 17. We're right there, almost. Verse 17:23. I didn't mean to spend this much time in this area, but it's just something for you to consider, because I'm still working those things out, just like maybe you have questions. Acts 17, he says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, and this is Paul, he's in Athens. I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You believe that? He says, and hath made of one blood all nations to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined what? The times before appointed, and the what? Bounds of their what? What's a habitation? What's a bound?
Borders.
Okay. He says,
established nations. That's part of
okay.
Genesis for that.
He determined that the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should what? Seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So, the reason I say that is, how many of those people, when God separated the nations, how many of you think knew that God separated the nations? And he says, I separated them that they might seek him. That they might search after him and seek him. I think a couple of weeks ago we showed where the gospel originated in the Middle East, in Syria area, in Asia, Europe, all those countries now that don't believe the gospel. They had a chance to hear that firsthand. Now they could care less.
Well, even when the Lord brought up Israel, it was for the nations to look upon that nation whose God was the Lord to be a light, to be a model, which of course they failed at. But that was the structural.
The only reason I'm saying that, and I'll get back, I went a little too far, is this. When you hear people say things like, the Lord did this, or the Lord put me here, or the Lord put him there, or the Lord brought her into my life, or brought him into my life, or whatever the case might be. And I used to be like, wait a minute. But I can't jump in all the way either. Because that's something I can't say I don't understand how that works. But you can see that if God is working things out after the counsel of his own will, and yet he still gives you the ability to make your own decisions.
It's kind of like in the book of Ruth, when Ruth just fell on Boaz's field.
Look, you can go through it. You can see all kinds of instances. And this is what where just trusting him would come into play. Is you can't understand how,
and let him do his thing.
That's it. You have to go with what's written and what's not written. As the song says, we'll understand it better
mm-hmm.
by and by.
Yeah, because you never know how things are working and why this happened.
You don't.
A lot of people like to overuse the.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, God did this, he did that. It's like, he sure does a lot for you.
Yeah. So you don't, like I said, there's just something to think about is you know that he's not like wind you up like a toy and just
he might kind of nudge you this way and set you down.
So that's
if it's in accordance with his will, not for your stuff.
So let's stop there. That was a lot of time I spent on that. But anyway, we'll stop there and pick up at verse where we are. We're at, let me get back over to one.
But when you,
we'll pick up,
you allude to God, you know, using human terms, nudges you here or there. But within the guardrails of his revealed word, I mean, it's, if you, there has to be
a will, isn't
it? Well, I got to think on that.
Well, we'll pick up at verse 12 or 13. We'll go back and finish that up. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We just pray as we go forward that you would continue to enlighten our eyes and strengthen our understanding as we read things that pertain to the Romans and also to us. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for your son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.